Well, I'll remind you the words, and I want to continue in this vein of being faithful. I was telling Wanda this morning after class, somebody here needs to keep hearing this. That you'll be glad that you remained faithful. You'll be glad that you remained faithful. You know, that goes for the tithe. As Pastor Rob was sharing about the tithe, this came to, I was just thinking, I was like, my God, you know, we have been faithful to sow for 20 plus years. And you know, that is a, that is something that in my mind I can fall back on and say, I have been faithful in this area of my life for 20 some years. And it will produce fruit. I will receive a harvest from it. Amen? But we were talking about that, right? Be glad that you remain faithful. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then I shared this definition of faithful, and I want to continue in this here. It says, steadfast in affection or allegiance, firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, given with strong assurance, true to the facts, to a standard, or to an original. You know, I think many people in many areas throughout their life have given up. They've given up when that breakthrough could have been right around the corner. Right around the corner. Some of us say, I've stood for so long and I haven't seen that. What is the point? Well, I'm here to encourage you today. I just sense this in my spirit. There is someone in here today that needs encouraging in not giving up. Amen. In remaining faithful to what God's called you to your purpose, to your plan in this earth. And not only for your benefit, the body of Christ benefits from your faithfulness. We talk about it all the time, you know, every part doing its part. Everybody having, you know, the body being jointly fit together, supplying a need. When you remain faithful, you supply a need to the body. When you're not, that need is missing and the body suffers. Do you see that? So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to remain faithful. Last week, I shared this story about the Samaritan woman. Remember, she was at the well and Jesus came and they had a conversation and she went back to her town and started talking about it. And what happened? It was sowing seed in that town, those town members, and some of them believed. And then Jesus came and added to that. And then if you recall, Philip came later on, turned a whole town around. One woman. And then I pose the question to us, you know, will it be you? Will it be you that turns an entire city around, an entire school around, an entire nation around, an entire world? This is the importance of it, especially in these last days, amen? What if our founding fathers had not remained faithful? You know, do you not think that they were under duress and challenges? I mean, it says that some of them gave their entire life savings, all their money, their inheritance, everything they had to the idea of a free country. What if they had not remained faithful? What if they had not given all that they had? Where would we be? You'd all be talking like English people. No. I don't even know if that's an English accent. Huh? What do they say? Tally-ho. I don't know. Cheerio. Cheerio, mate. No, that's New Zealand, isn't it? I don't know. You'd all be speaking different. How about that? It may only take one person remaining faithful It may only take one person remaining faithful. Let's look, and today I want to start out here looking at the faithfulness of Abraham and what it meant to us even today. The faithfulness of Abraham. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Faithfulness. Don't give up. Don't quit. Remain faithful. You'll be glad you did. And know for a surety that there are others that are relying on your faithfulness. Amen? So let's start here in Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to read out of the King James, but I want to read this first verse out of the Amplified. And I know we don't have that version, the classic. We're working on that. I've made some headway. We're going to get the classic version installed. But let me just read this first verse, and then I'm going to switch over to the King James Version. Romans 4, verse 1 says, "But if so, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, humanly speaking? What did he find out? How does this affect his position, and what was gained by him?" Now let me switch over to King James just for reading purposes. It says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." What is our vision here at the church? Sow and go. What are we growing up in? Righteousness. Our understanding of righteousness. We're sowing faith so that we grow in righteousness, so that we can take that out to the world. Amen? Verse 4 says, "Now to him that worketh Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." So if you're working for something, something's owed to you. It's not of grace, is what they're saying. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. As he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised." Now, that's a lot of uncircumcision and circumcision we're talking about. Now, okay, I got to get past the word. What he's talking about there, what Paul is saying, is faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness before he had covenant with God. That's what all that circumcision talks about, okay? It was credited to Abraham as righteousness before he was in covenant with God. What does that mean to us? We think, and y'all tell me if I'm wrong, most people think they have to clean themselves up before they can come to God. Right? If Abraham had a thought that, he would have had to get circumcised, and then his faith would have been credited as righteousness. But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. It's not so. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to God. We think we have to be theologians before God can use us. How many's been there? You've got a call on your life. God is showing you some things. He's given you a purpose, a plan. And you say, "But God, I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. You can't use me. I don't know enough. I can't quote enough scripture. I can't speak." You know, whatever the reason, the lies that the enemy tries to infiltrate your mind with, the truth is, he can use you. In fact, he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He chose fishermen. Right? And even the Pharisees were amazed, didn't they? He said, well, y'all, they perceived they were unlearned men. And yet they were changing the world. Changing the world. It says these that turned the world upside down. Church, that's you and me. That is you and me in a nutshell. Unqualified by our own natural abilities, but qualified by God Himself to change the world. And your world at that moment, at this moment, might be right inside your house. Your world may be at your job. Your world may be in your school. Your world may be in this community. Your world may be the world. But you are qualified to change your world. Amen? Let's continue on. Verse 13 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Say, I'm a seed. I am a seed. And it is a promise that might be sure to me and you. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen to this, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham remained faithful, and it was imputed unto him is righteousness, and we all are benefiting from his faithfulness today. Amen? Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Let me read verse 20 out of the Amplified Version. It says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. He grew strong and was empowered by faith. So what was our definition of faithfulness? Steadfast in affection, firm in adherence to promises, given with strong assurance, true to the facts, to the standard, to an original. He remained steadfast. He adhered to the promise with strong assurance. He did not give up. He did not give up. Even when he was asked to deliver up his own son, Isaac, to be burned as a sacrifice, he was obedient. And I'm not going to go into that story. It's not a story, it's an actual fact. But we're not going to share. But he was obedient because he knew that even if he did that out of obedience, God would be able to raise up his son because it was promised to him. That was his faith. That was Abraham's faith, his faithfulness to the word of God. So my question to you is, what are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? Just ask yourself, what am I believing God for? According to His will? According to His will. What are you believing God for? Well, you say, what is His will? Well, He spoke directly to Abraham because there was no written word for Abraham to fall back on, right? But now, we have this. You know, Abraham cut covenant with God. But we have a better covenant on better promises. We have this written word to go by. We know what His will is for us because He's laid it all out. He's put it all in the book, the good book. What is His will for you? To be delivered, set free, healed, at peace? Yes, all of those. And not only for you, but for you to be doing that for others. You want to change the New River Valley? Then we got to start doing the works of Jesus. We got to start doing the works of Jesus. Let me say it again. We got to start doing the works of Jesus. And this is not a selfish gospel. The words contained in here are not a selfish gospel. What do I mean by that? They're not for you alone. They are not for you alone. We are His ambassadors, right? We are to be taking this to a lost and dying world. I wrote, Jesus could do the miracles that He did because why? Because He loved those that He was ministering to. He loved them. You can read that in the Gospels. He had compassion. You know, He was trying to retire and go to a lonely place and pray and be in fellowship and at one with His Father. But yet the crowds came and He had compassion on them. So He ministered to them. He had compassion on those blind eyes that He opened. He had compassion on the dead people that He raised from the dead. There was compassion in His heart. Do we have compassion? Do we? Do we? Do we have that same compassion? You know, we've been talking about prayer being a priority, and Wanda has shared that Ephesians 1 prayer over and over, and I hope that you continue to pray that, and you know, that God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, right? That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. But Paul only said that after he'd learned of their faith in the Lord and love for all the saints. He only prayed that they give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation after he had learned of their faith and their love. Faith and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. But what is the greatest of them? Love. It's love. Faith works by love. Comes down to, I believe, faith, hope, and love. I'm convinced that you will not. We were talking, you know, and rightfully so, talking about the spiritual gifts and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And Bob and Jan had a wonderful testimony at prayer time this morning about the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And we are to be doing that. I spoke about that last week. But I'm convinced that we will not operate in the fullness of any gift without faith, hope, or love. I'm convinced. Faith in what? That Jesus is real and the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hope in what? That He's coming again. That He's not going to leave us here in this foreign country. and love for all the saints, and really, really for the world. We love the world. We are to love the world because God loves the world, right? He loved the world so much, He sent His Son to die. And we're to be like our Father. What is He? Love. God is love. And we're to be like our Father in this earth. We were created in His image. We're to operate through love, in love, by love. Amen? I'm telling you, the more I read and study the Scriptures, this is true for me, I don't know if it is for you, but the more I read and study the Scriptures, the more I see how it all just points back to Jesus. It all points back to Jesus. This entire book points to Jesus. And we can't, what does it say? We can't get tossed. I want to break this down for just a second. We can't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Doesn't the Word say that? Whether it's expanding our tent pegs, some of y'all know what that's in reference to. Whether it's prosperity, whether it's healing, whether it's manifestations of the Spirit, whether it's prophetic words, etc., etc., etc. Now listen, all these things are good and well and necessary, but we cannot form a doctrine around them and camp out there forever. Notice I said forever, not for a season. These things are all for good and benefit, our benefit. I mean, they're gifts. He wouldn't have given them to us if we weren't to use them or operate in them. But we have to take the full counsel of God. Not just pick and choose what we want. The full counsel of God. And it all points back to Jesus. The full counsel of God points back to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no one gains entrance to heaven without Him. We must understand our righteousness in the person of Jesus. And that's not only our right standing with God, that's our right way of living. We need to understand that. You know, we are righteous. When you say, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. You are I want you to be my Lord and Savior. At that instant, you are righteous before God by the blood of Jesus. And listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, like Pastor Rob said, but there are people, there are lives that you are speaking into that need to hear this. And so you need to hear it so you can give it out. Amen? It's just hearing and hearing the Word over and over to give you faith in it, to build your confidence up in it so that you can give it out. I know you know these things. I see the same faces in here, week in and week out. But this is a time where we can come together and be encouraged and be lifted up and build our confidence in these things by hearing them over and over, so that we can share them, so that we can make a difference. Amen? I know I'm encouraged. Listen, I'm talking about faithfulness here. There's been a battle within myself about remaining faithful. I understand, listen, I know the Scripture. I understand that the devil is a liar and he's going to come against you. And we were talking in class this morning about, I believe it came out like, you know when you're doing something right and good and then the will of God, because the enemy attacks it, right? Wide, effectual doors are open. There are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. So I battle that within myself. So if I'm battling, I know that some of y'all are, at least, if not every one of you, in some area of your life, about remaining faithful. Huh? Or am I the only one? Wore the t-shirt. You got the t-shirt. You got multiple t-shirts about it. We must remain faithful. We must understand our righteousness in the person of Jesus. If we want to operate in the authority that we believe we have on this earth, how many believe we have authority in the earth? If we want to operate, then we must understand who we are in Christ. His love for us, our love for one another. And listen to this. This is going to shock some of you. You got to even love yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. You say you love God. But the Bible says, how can you love God who you don't see when you can't love your brother who you do see? Love, I'm telling you. Love is a key. And this love only comes through fellowship in His Word, fellowship in the Holy Spirit and prayer, and fellowship with His saints. As iron sharpens iron, we're to fellowship with one another. We're to walk in love with one another. The love walk.
Amen.
The love walk. You know, I mean, you know, talking about, and I didn't get into different doctrines and all this thing. We make it complicated. We make the gospel complicated. We want to pick and drill down into these different, you know, I'm trying to think of a word, but I can't think of these unique scriptures. We want to drill, and we want to make a doctrine of that, but we're overcomplicating it, Gene. We're overcomplicating the gospel, the simple message of the gospel. And it really boils down to love. And the only way you're going to understand love is if you read what the Word says. If you fellowship with God in prayer. You have to have relationship with God. It's foundational. That's right. That is the foundation of it all. We want all these things. I believe. I preach this is a house of miracles. And I even encourage you to go out into the community and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And Wanda, can I use you? I'll use you, and then you tell me if I can or can't. So I'm talking about operating in the gifts of the Spirit, right? And we need to be going out into our community, and this is where we're going to transform our community. And when we operate in these gifts, and so Wanda says to me, well, I really believe that I operate in the gift of speaking in tongues. And I'm not comfortable going out into Walmart and just speaking in tongues. You said I could.
Well, she wanted to hear the example. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
My point being, how many of y'all would be comfortable doing that? Huh? I know. All right, you two, three, four, five. I want to see y'all go into Walmart and grab that mic out of... attention, line number 9. We're going to have a tongue-speaking contest right now. Anybody in the store, come on down. Lane number 9. What did you say? I didn't hear him. He don't want to repeat it, I guess.
I said, let her rip tater chip.
Let her rip tater chip. We got a sale on tater chips, too. But here's my point and why I apologize. Wanda, if I didn't. But when you are, listen, and this is the key. I really believe this is the key. When you are walking in love and you have such compassion for that person or whatever door has opened up to you, when you have such compassion, you won't worry about that. You won't worry about that. Speak the truth in love. Whether it's a word of wisdom, whether it's speaking in tongues, a discernment of spirits or interpretation of tongues, a miracle, healing, whether you're ministering faith to them. I'm telling you, if you have that compassion for them, it won't matter. You won't be embarrassed. You won't think twice about it. You won't care what people are thinking about you. You won't care what people are saying about you, because you are walking in that compassion of our Lord and Savior, just the same compassion He walked in. Same compassion. And that only comes through fellowship in His Word. I'll say it again. Fellowship in the Holy Spirit and prayer, and fellowship with His saints. I wrote this down. I'm just going to read it as I wrote it. I am no substitute for your personal time with Him. Gathering together with saints is no substitute for your personal time with Him. Watching or listening to preachers on TV or radio is no substitute for your personal time with Him. Again, all these things are good and necessary, but should be in addition to, not replacement of. Amen? Jesus paid a tremendous price so that you and I could have direct access to God the Father. He paid a tremendous price. But we still seek a mediator sometimes, just as the Hebrews did with Moses. You remember they said, no, we don't want to talk to God directly, Moses. You go. You go up the mountain and speak to God and then come back and tell us what He said. Right? Don't we have that same, sometimes that same mentality? No. Pastor, you just tell us what God is saying. Huh? We don't want to read the Word for ourselves. You tell us. It ought not be so.
Amen.
It ought not be so.
Amen. Yes.
I have to tell you something. You know, we get together and pray before the service every Sunday. And I endeavor to be a part of those every Sunday. I haven't missed very many. Don't want this to come across wrong. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord gives you ears to hear what He's saying. Well, and not every Sunday, but often it goes, or it lends itself to pray for me, to pray for the person, whoever, you know, may be coming here, but to pray for. And I got to tell you that sometimes I'm a little uncomfortable with that. And hear my heart. And I'm not saying stop. I'm just, hear my heart. I don't like being the focus of it. I'm telling you, I have an assignment, and I know what part of my assignment it is to do in this church, in this earth, and it's to empower people to walk in their assignment. So when the focus comes on me, I want to distribute that. I want to empower other people to get in alignment with their assignment.
Amen.
I hope that the Holy Spirit can parse that out for you and give you my heart. And Wanda, it's not, I mean, thank you. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I will tell you, there's a battle going on, and can I covet your prayers? Is that okay? Can I long for your prayers and desire your prayers for me and my family, Roger and Frida? Thank you. Roger came in last week and shared that with me, and he shared other things at other times, but shared that with me, that they pray for Nikki and I, not only Nikki and I, but our children, because he was a preacher's kid, and he understands it. Isn't it interesting how, you know, I believe this to be true, that we go through life and we gain experiences, and God uses those experiences to minister to other people. That's why I never, ever discount what you've gone through in your life. Even if it's something terrible, God can use that for you to minister to someone else. Because there are people that have not been through that, and how can they minister to someone else that's experienced that? Never discount something you've gone through, because the key is you've gone through it. You're still here. Now you can share hope with someone else that may be in the middle of it, going through the same thing that you went through or similar things. Amen? Isn't this good stuff? God is crying out to us, "My children, come. Come talk with me. Come walk with me." And we are saying, "Speak to me through so-and-so or such-and-such." He wants to speak to you directly. And it's really time to get personal with God. It's time to get personal with God. Adam and Eve were naked before God, and they were unashamed. They were unashamed. Then sin entered in, and they were ashamed of their nakedness. Well, Jesus came on the scene. Now we can all get naked again. Naked before God, okay? Get your minds out of the... We can be naked and bare before God. He knows everything anyway. He is all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent. Abraham had faith in the promises of God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. We have a better covenant established on better promises. So have faith in Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, of that covenant. And do the works that He did, and even greater. He calls us to even greater works. Amen? We want to walk in the power of God, don't we? Don't we want to walk in the power of God? Well, God showed me an equation. How many like math? Power without love equals pride. Power without love equals pride. Just like if you have children or you've had a parent, discipline without love equals rebellion. You try to discipline a child and not doing it in love, it'll lead them to rebellion. But when you discipline a child in love, that leads to respect. So it's okay to covet the higher gifts, to want the higher gifts. It's okay to operate in those spiritual gifts, but it better be done in love, because you don't want to get prideful about it. Amen? And that's why sometimes I get a little uncomfortable when people are praying for me like that. But it's okay. I understand it's necessary, and I appreciate it. I do. Now look, you won't hear my name for the next 5 weeks at prayer time. I can see it all over you now. You won't hear my name for at least 6 weeks. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, my. Father, I thank You that You are showing us, You are ministering to us through Your Holy Spirit and shedding abroad Your love in our heart. And help us to keep that in order. Help us to know that we have to love God first. God, we have to love You first. And then it says to love our neighbor. But not only love our neighbor as ourselves. So that tells me we have to love ourselves. There are people in this world that do not love themselves. They've done things, they've said things, they've seen things, they've been places. and they don't love themselves. But we're here in this earth to tell them, to show them that God still loves them. And when they understand that and they come into relationship with you, God, you restore that love for themselves. And when they get that restoration within themselves, then they begin to understand what it means to love their neighbor. So, Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today, Holy Spirit, you are speaking to their heart and showing them their love walk, showing them where they need to make correction. Or you're applauding them where they are doing well and encouraging them to do more. And I believe that as we walk in love and desire these gifts of the Spirit, they will operate out of us with power. Power to change our environment. Power to change our home, our community, our city. But this power flows from you. So God, I thank you. I thank you that you are doing a work here in Christian Growth Center. You are doing a work. You are laying the foundation. We know that Christ is the foundation, and we are building upon that strong foundation of Jesus. Understanding that all Scripture points back to Jesus, points back to you, the Christ, the Messiah, our Deliverer, our Savior. Help us to keep the gospel simple. We don't want to be overwhelmed with complex things or winds of doctrine that take us and blow us to different areas. But no, help us to stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day. Each and every day. Each and every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.